Donald in a Kitchen talks about food. Donald in a Kitchen talks recipes. Donald in a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on Community Radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Nuchtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
And this is the Donalana Kitchen. This is Community Radio. We get by with help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Donalana Kitchen show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. For information, go to www.themuckyduckpub.com. Or call a pub and ask for Marcus.
There you go. This is the Donalana Kitchen. We gather here once a week at the studios of KHOI Community Radio, and we do this show live, Tuesday noon at Live, without a net. We do.
Right,
we just kind of jump right in,
right?
And yeah, we talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. Today, we have a special guest. We're going to be talking about farming, but this, we have a little bit of Valentine's business to take care of.
Oh, yeah.
Donna, you have a news item. Dick-a-dick-dick-a-dick-a-dick. That's our ticker tape from the Donalana Kitchen News Department. Now, you find that news item, and I was shocked. I was taken aback. This is a news item that I hope you learned
about. It was something that was in the Wall Street Journal, right?
Oh.
Turns out that there will be, you know, those little candies that we've had forever since we were children that all have a little few words on them, and they come in pretty pastel colors.
Be mine. Oh,
yeah,
you kid.
Right. They are no more.
No.
Yes. Yes. No sweethearts for your Valentine. The Candy Hearts fans are heartbroken that for the first time in 100 years, the Conversation Hearts won't be hitting the store shelves this week. Their maker, Necco, N-E-C-C-O, which was a candy company, it went out of business last year. That means the world is ending.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Or the world as we knew it, anyway.
The right? world as we know it. Oh, shoot.
So there apparently is a black market for people scooping up what's left of them.
Of course. Of course. Oh, dear.
I know. So we'll have to figure out how to make our own Valentine's candies.
Yeah, I'm going to get a really teeny tiny little mark. Okay, we'll figure about that's one Valentine's thing. And I mentioned we would have a Valentine recipe.
This one is almost good enough to replace the candy hearts.
Almost, yeah.
Now, I mean, we could write messages with them, right?
I suppose, yeah. We usually think of chocolate, but this is a non-chocolate thing because I thought.
And this will go back to your childhood, no
doubt
about it.
This is good. This is good. This is a different take on the Rice Krispie bars. Now, don't say you don't eat Rice Krispie bars. Everybody likes Rice Krispie.
Rice Krispie treats, boy.
This is an updated version of that recipe that has been printed on Rice Krispie cereal boxes since 1940. Now, it's kind of a grown-up version of the Rice Krispie bars.
But not too much.
Not too much. It still is good. It still is good. It's called Salted Brown Butter Krispie Treats. And I got this.
They still look like Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah. What makes them?
They have marshmallows in them.
Rice Krispies. Rice Krispie bars were a big hit because they basically only had three ingredients.
You don't need any child can make them.
And you don't have to. You don't even have to turn on the oven. It's melting this stuff, sticking it in a greasy pan, and there you have your treats. The original recipe just called for butter, marshmallows, and Rice Krispie cereal.
Exactly.
And who doesn't like it? Here's from this recipe book called Genius Desserts, 100 Recipes That Will Change the Way You Bake. Here's a little note. In fact, these are so ubiquitous, the Krispie bars. We think, we thumb past them in our mental recipe files in favor of a newer, flashier prospects. But here's another truth. Most people will walk past all sorts of fancy cookies and tarts at a potluck to get to the stack of Krispie treats
before
the rest of them.
It's true. I confess.
Now, this is a new take on the Rice Krispie bars because it has a little bit extra butter, and you do something special with the butter. You brown the butter. you kind of toast the butter, and boy, can you taste it.
You have to melt the butter for the recipe anyway.
Yeah.
So you put the butter. I mean, I always make my brown butter in a little cast iron skillet. And you just keep cooking the butter while it browns.
You should make this in a bigger pan because you stir in the cereal in a bigger pan.
Okay, but you do need a kind of a thicker bottom pan. Right.
Melt the butter in a large pot over medium-low heat. Stir frequently until brown.
Butter, right, and you do have to stir.
And watch it. Butter will melt.
Because you can get black butter.
It will foam, and then it will turn clear golden brown. Don't burn the butter. Don't let it get black.
Because, technically what's browning are the milk particles that are still in the butter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's browning and getting that really caramely flavor.
Otherwise, it's just a Rice Krispie treat recipe. 1/2 cup salt. 1/2 cup unsalted butter. Now, that's a little bit more than on a regular recipe. And Donna says yum because it's good. And that's
butter
brown.
Butter is better,
that's
right?
That's brown. 1 10-ounce bag marshmallows, 6 cups Rice Krispie cereal, and a heaping 1/4 teaspoon coarse sea salt. The brown butter adds richness, and the salt adds a little savory balance.
So do you put the salt into the recipe, or is it sprinkled on top?
No, it's mixed in with the Rice Krispies.
Okay.
So there it is. I suppose you could put some extra on top. I actually followed the recipe this time.
Oh, it's perfect.
They turned out
change a thing.
Pretty good. The only thing is don't burn the butter. That's salted brown butter crispy treats, and that is from the chef, Deb Perlman, and it's from it's a collection of all kinds of good dessert recipes called Genius Desserts.
And this is, I bet you can't eat just one.
Well, I know Donna can't eat just one because she's already kind of working her way through the pile.
I've already had two or three.
Here. Yes, she is.
Oh, it's so good.
So besides, that's my Valentine's gift. So, and this will be on the Donna Lana Kitchen recipe page. I've sent it along to Gio, our webmaster.
Oh, goody. It's going to be posted.
It's posted.
You could almost remember this one. Just brown your butter and put a little extra in. That's all it takes.
And salt.
Right. And isn't the original recipe, is it still on the package of Rice Krispies?
I should have looked. I bought a box and I
didn't. I don't know.
Well, it better be. There's probably a law that it should be.
Yes.
Know?
Right.
Okay.
Certainly. Well, so we may no longer have candy hearts, but, you know, you can make your own Rice Krispie treats.
So.
Some things are eternal.
There's something for your Valentine. We have some guests in our studio today. We're going to be talking about growing things. And one of the things that we should grow is community. It's not just all these commodities that we grow. We have guests here from a place called Mustard Seed Farm. The bottom line, everybody talks about the bottom line and about making money farming, huh? But it's not always about money. Donna, introduce our guests.
Yes, well, we have Alice McGarry and Lois Fulton from the Mustard Seed Farm, and we asked them to come for our Valentine's show because we want to remind everybody that this holiday, this heart-themed holiday, is not just all about romantic love. You know, it's about love thy neighbor as thyself. It's about giving and charity and all these heartfelt kinds of caring. So Alice and Lois have something called the Catholic Workers Farm. Tell us what it is and about the ethics behind it, the heart-centered work that you're doing.
Welcome, you two. Anyway, welcome.
Hi, this is Alice.
Yeah.
You just want me to tell you everything about our farm?
Oh, everything all at once. What are Catholic workers specifically?
Okay. Lois, do you want to say hi?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having us.
Feel free to chip in at any time, Lois.
Okay, I'm going to let you take the lead.
The Catholic Worker Movement is a movement that was started in the 30s during the Depression in the United States. And it was started by two Catholics who were very involved in, who cared very much about the plight of the workers and also cared very much about the Catholic faith, I guess. Anyway, they started a newspaper with the main goal of inspiring the Catholic Church to do a better job of living out their social values and helping all the people that were in need, and also to inspire Catholics to...
The golden rule and the do unto others and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And during the Depression, there was such obvious need, as there seems to be more and more these days. But
right. So the Catholic worker movement started with the newspaper way back then and quickly expanded to lots of little different houses of hospitality around the United States of people who were trying to help each other in times of need. And it is... it was started by Catholics, but it quickly expanded to be a movement that included all faiths and people with no faith. And it's a movement
that... So it is not connected to the Catholic Church.
It is. It is not a organized...
It is not funded by the Catholic Church.
It's not funded by the Catholic Church. It is not run by the Catholic Church. And it is... its members are not only Catholics.
Catholic being actually the word for universal.
Yeah.
Right.
I went across the names Peter Morin and Dorothy Day. They were the people that started this out?
Yes. So when Alice was talking about these people who put out a newspaper, Dorothy was a journalist.
Ah.
And Peter Morin was French. I believe, and a bit of a philosopher. He really believed in education, and so they set out to write this newspaper, and they were encouraging the church to respond to the needs of the poor, and people started showing up at their door saying, well, you're saying that this need needs to be cared for, so you're going to provide this need for us, right? So it was kind of an unintentional growth from putting out a newspaper to actual works of charity.
Did it start with feeding people?
It started with feeding people. It started with feeding people and meeting their physical needs,
providing housing.
Housing and...
Ah. I have... you belong or have an organization here, have a place called the Mustard Seed Farm. And I went to the website and got your mission statement. And here it is. Guided by our faith and ethics, we are dedicated to sustainable, simple living, love of neighbor, creating a community in which everyone can participate in growing and eating delicious, healthy, local, and locally produced food. Tell us more about your farm. Where is Mustard Seed Farm?
Where's the farm?
And tell us a little bit about what goes on there.
The farm is about 10 miles north of Ames. And 5 miles west, so we are not really near any town. We're by the town where the town of Mackey used to be, if you know where that is. We have 11 acres, and we grow about 3 acres of miscellaneous food, lots of vegetables and some berries and fruits and nuts and flowers and herbs. And then we have more than half of it in habitat restoration. And we grow food to share. We sell about a third of what we grow. But last year we grew a lot of food last year, and we only sold a quarter of it. And we were able to give away three quarters. So we were able to share with either volunteers that come to the farm or through the farm to clinic program or with anyone who needs it. We also do.
So,
yeah.
Do you send some to food at first?
We do.
What kind of places do you send you gift your food to?
The food can go to sometimes individual boxes or gift boxes. Like you would receive a CSA variety of vegetables in a box, and those gift boxes are given directly to families that are in need on a weekly basis throughout the whole growing season. And then food is also distributed at Food at First and other food pantries and then through the Farm to Clinic program.
Tell us what we've had Food at First on the air. That is it's a regular meal program. You can get a meal, a not means-tested meal, 7 days a week in the evenings?
Yeah, every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
And also they have a very large, well-organized food pantry there. But tell us about the Farm to Clinic. We haven't heard about that.
The Farm to Clinic program is super cool. It's been 4 years that they've been running, and we've been partnering with them since the beginning.
Which clinic?
This is the Primary Healthcare Clinic, which is over by...
It's out on Lincoln Way.
Yeah, by the West IV. There's a number of little clinics over there. There's so it's one of maybe three clinics you could walk to that are all right there by each other. And it's a coordinated program with all the staff there. And so when it's working perfect, your doctor would talk to you about nutrition that would relate to the health problems you're having and would prescribe to you a vegetable prescription.
And
that's one thing that's really great about it is because it's recommended by your doctor and you're given a prescription and then you can fill it right there at the clinic. And so you have 5 weeks of free vegetables as your prescription. And once a week they have all the vegetables in the waiting room. And then also your nurse or the psychologist, like the social workers. I mean, everybody is thinking about nutrition. And also there is a nutritionist in the lobby who is talking about the food and will give you recipes and suggestions. And you get a newsletter, which has news from the farm and advice. Nutritional advice about the vegetables and how to cook it. And there's usually samples of food to try. I just think it's been really amazing.
Directly connecting what you eat with how you feel. Food is an element of a good, healthy life. That's amazing. I mentioned as we started this segment here, it's not always about money. There are other bottom lines. And when you were saying that a good chunk of what you grew, you gave away. And it's not like you said, oh, we wasted that. We had to give it away. Your eyes lighted up, and you said, "We gave it away." What is it about the Mustard Seed Farm that makes this a good thing to do?
Well, the farm is completely volunteer run.
Ah,
so everyone that's there is there to support the mission. And when Alice is distributing vegetables, if you're ever there on a harvest morning, it's a very business-like atmosphere, but there's a lot of joy too. And Alice instructs all of us as we're learning about how to harvest vegetables and how to care for them and clean them and prepare them for those who will eat it. We always take the best vegetables and put them in the donation bin first so that the most beautiful, attractive, supermarket-shaped vegetables and produce go to the people who maybe don't have the choice to buy it in the store.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. It actually, I believe there's something in the Bible about bringing your first fruits. There you go. And you get to do that. And you get the reward of doing it, besides getting to eat all this stuff yourself. Food is a magical, spiritual, very human thing. Unfortunately, it can be very political because we find that the more well-off of us can afford to shop and get whatever. We can, all that organic stuff, all that stuff that's specially priced. But then there's a whole lot of other of us that don't have access to good food. And the idea that you can connect up people with good food is a great.
Yeah, the Farm to Clinic has been 4 years. And the farm has been, the Mustard Seed Community Farm has been 11 years. But I want to say something about your last question. I guess maybe bringing it back to the Catholic worker and to love. I would say one of the very central principles of the Catholic worker movement is this idea that every human deserves dignity, and every person is equally amazing and important and sacred, and both that we deserve a life of dignity, and that we are also powerful and are able to impact the world, that we have, that we...
You can do something about all the problems of the world, yes.
And so I think that food it's just this basic thing that makes everything else in our bodies and in our life work. And it's also this, like you said, this spiritual and this social and this emotional thing. And so to be able to have both delicious food
and healthy food.
And healthy food, I feel like that is a core thing in being able to have a dignified life, mm-hmm. and be able to just function and have your brain function and your body function and your immune system function.
So I'm guessing you don't use herbicides and pesticides in your farm.
That's correct.
Because they're not always good for your immune system.
Or the earth.
The earthworms.
Speaking about love, outreach, I'm familiar also with there's something just called Catholic worker houses, usually in an environment. You are a Catholic worker farm. You're actually farming. But there are all sorts of other outreaches. There's a Catholic, I know there's one, Catholic worker house in Des Moines. And they do a lot of homeless and people that are in transition, people that need a little help. They're busy feeding and housing people, too. And that is a... I get their newsletter every now and then. And the way they talk about it, too, is, well, people show up. Of course we'll feed them. Of course we'll help them along. And there's always pictures in there of people smiling. I think that's a great idea. So there are Catholic worker houses, or I suppose Catholic worker other things. But how unusual is a Catholic worker farm? A farm is a commitment. It's like it's not only a monetary commitment, but it's a working thing. So why did you decide to do a farm?
Well, the Catholic worker movement started with this urban house setup. Mm-hmm. Yep, in New York City, and they were meeting immediate needs. Mm-hmm. But Peter Morin also had a vision of educating people about where their food came from and about kind of creating an alternative economic system that promoted the common good rather than individualism. And so the farm during the early years was producing food for the houses in the city, but also doing a lot of education. And I think that the mustard seed farm does a lot of that as well. People can come to the farm. We can learn about how to grow food. Also, the farm organizes a lot of roundtable discussions to talk about different issues that we face and ways that we can work together to make a world where it's easier to be good.
Ah, very good. Very good. Are there other Catholic worker farms around here? In Iowa, in the Midwest?
Yeah, so it is more rare to be a Catholic worker farm. Mm-hmm. These are just made up numbers right now. there's maybe more than 200 Catholic worker communities around the world. And I would say there might be more than, maybe it might be around 20 that are farms. And every house is unique. Every house is autonomous. Every community has chosen the work that they do based on the needs of their community and the passions of the people that are doing that work. So all the farms are also different. I just went and visited 4 or 5 Catholic worker farms this fall. I've been trying to visit a Catholic worker farm, one a year. But there are more in the Midwest. Actually, we have...
'cause we farm around here. Go figure.
Yeah, there's one... in Minnesota, one in Wisconsin, 2 in Iowa, one in Illinois.
Are they about the same scale as the mustard seed farm?
Perhaps. I mean, they're each is doing different work. Like it's like a different agricultural enterprise, perhaps, but similar size.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. We're going to find out more about what's going on at Mustard Seed Farm and about loving your neighbor. This is our Valentine's show, and we're talking about growing things, growing good in the community. This is KHOI, and this is Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. We're back. This is a Donalena Kitchen. We're talking to Lois Fulton and Alice McGarry from Mustard Seed Farm. We're talking about a loving outreach as a way of life, as a way of farming. Mustard Seed Farm is a Catholic worker farm, which means that they have a history of doing things for the community. I want to mention also another thing that you can do for your community is the creativity that comes out of Mustard Seed Farm. We realize that we're not just all one thing. We don't just identify ourselves as farmer or cook or teacher. Alice does a lot of things. She's an artist, a musician. You heard some music from Alice McGarry. Actually, that was from a CD, and we'll hear more about that later. That was it's a great fiddle tune, Alice. It's called "You Gotta Quit Kicking My Dog Around." It's good. How does music fit into your outreach to the community?
Oh.
We all knew Alice as a musician before we knew her as a farmer. Yeah.
Well, Lois mentioned that part of the Catholic worker movement is this idea of creating an alternative economic system with this idea, this core idea of the dignity of every human. And also, I would say that the dignity of all of our planet also. And that everyone would be able to have dignified and meaningful work. And creative work is wonderful. It is meaningful. The idea of being able to make something wonderful that is adding to the greater good of the world, of people, of playing music, of writing music. Anyway, of
so
making beautiful things.
Growing an eggplant is a creative act, and playing a fiddle tune is a creative act.
And the idea that we could all be doing work that is more exciting, that is exciting and creative and challenging and adding to the quality of the world, and that we would still be able to make a living doing that. We would be able to meet our needs and have a dignified life.
That's right. And this leads to, you have gatherings at your place, and music and, I must say, and dancing has something to do with gathering. We have kind of lost the habit of knowing how to do this, but at your farm and at other places too, you get out your fiddle and you play. And, well, I've encouraged people to dance. And the idea of having everyone that's there holding hands in a circle and moving left, moving right, promenading with your partner, do-si-do-ing, doing all that stuff that, well, we all learned that maybe, and I don't know if you learned that in Phi Ed classes or physical education classes, but it's the thing you should know how to do these things, just like you learn how to parallel park your car. It's one of these, you should know how to dance with your neighbors. Yes, you should. And the idea that you have gatherings at your place that include this sort of thing. You use your music for good. Yes, you do. Talk about, there is an upcoming gathering happening.
Well, first I want to point out that Alice and has mentioned that each, you know, Catholic worker house or farm is completely autonomous, which means there's no big, large organization funneling money down. Every single Catholic worker institution has to raise their own money. So, like, you guys are building a new barn this year.
Yes.
Right? And you're having, she calls it a fundraiser. But tell us about the upcoming fundraiser. Come on, Lois.
Yeah, we're really excited. We're building a new barn, and we're going to have a barn-raising fundraiser this year. It's on March 2nd. It's a Saturday from 5 to 7:30 p.m. We're going to be providing an amazing meal for everyone who comes to share. We're going to have some live music featuring Alice McGarry on the fiddle.
And Nate Kemperman. And I believe our fabulous host, Lana Noctigal, is going to call some dances.
Now, it's a fun thing to be part of. I'll be there.
So there's going to be some music, some dancing. We're going to have a craft sale with some of Alice's beautiful art. She makes beautiful pottery and weaves rugs. And we'll have some hand-dipped candles and some other crafts donated by other members of the community. We'll have games and activities. We're going to have an escape room. That's a really popular activity now. It's an escape room, so you work together with a group to find your way out of a room within a certain period of time. The library had one a few weeks ago as part of a different event.
Oh, this sounds good.
Yeah. Is this just for children or everybody likes it?
It's for everybody.
Oh, boy.
So, and we're going to have, you know, yard games and hopefully a card-playing tournament, maybe some 500 or hearts corner. Oh. We're going to have a variety of activities. We want to build community. We want to enjoy each other's company and celebrate joy. Gratitude for the amazing season we had last year, producing over 25,000 pounds of fresh organic produce.
Woohoo!
Three-fourths of that shared with the community freely. And there's, you know, there's so many people involved in the farm that that help to grow the food and come out and enjoy the beauty of the prairie and the pond there. And part of the growth of the farm and the community there is that we need more infrastructure. So we're building this barn, and it's going to be a space that will allow us to gather in inclement weather. Right now we gather outside when we gather, and so if it's pretty rainy or cold, that's limiting. So we're going to have an indoor space. There's also going to be space to craft inside. Alice has some amazing skills with weaving and working with yarn that now we'll have a space where we can have classes for crafting as well as a wood workshop. It'll increase our capacity for hospitality and also for better storage of our tools and seeds so that we can be more sustainable
in
the future.
All that farm stuff. Yes, it does need a home in the winter. Yes, it does.
Well, and the date is March 2nd. That's on a Saturday, 5 to 7:30 p.m. And where is it?
It's at the Harvest Vineyard Church, which is the old Ames Racket and Fitness.
On the south side of town.
Yeah, 320 South 17th. It's by the highway. And it's a pretty cool space. It's cool what they've done with that building. And
well, there should be room to dance if there. It was an old racket and fitness. Oh, my goodness.
There's
we should have
a lot of room in this building.
Yeah, if you have been there before, they repurposed the tennis court space. There was that tennis court bubble, and they recreated kind of a lobby area with couches. And
how nice.
It's a lovely space.
If you want to see more details, we have a website, mustardseedfarm.org. Also, there's stuff on Facebook, like if you forget where the church is. Or also, if you are interested and you want to donate crafts to our craft sale, or if you want to bring some food, you can. So anyway, you can look it up on Facebook under Mustard Seed Community Farm. Or
that's good. There's always stuff going on.
I want to put a plug in for a new thing we're doing this year, which is a silent auction.
Bull.
And we are going to be putting those items up on Facebook as we have images available so that people can peruse them. But I feel like the community should know that one of our items is going to be a meal for four of all Iowa food grown and prepared by Gary Guthrie, our local carrot king.
Oh, boy.
Well, now.
And Gary makes really good pies, too.
Oh, good. He
makes such good pies that another silent auction offering will be a one-on-one pie baking workshop with Gary Guthrie. And if you are the winner of this item, you can take the pie home at the end of the day. Make a pie with Gary and take it home.
Now, this is exciting. This is the kind of thing you should be doing when the wind is howling and the snow is deep. And we seem to be a long way from spring yet as we're talking. This is early February. But even then, it's nice to do things face-to-face and shoulder-to-shoulder. It's nice. So this is the fundraiser, without a D, the fundraiser for
March 2nd.
At the Harvest Vineyard Church. We really hope you'll come out and join us. Everything is free will donation, and we don't want that to stop anyone from coming and joining in the fun. So
great.
All are welcome.
Great. I would like to also get back to, you talked about your new barn. And you have some interest, you have another interesting structure there that you've been using. You made an outdoor kitchen, and that.
Oh, we love the outdoor kitchen.
The outdoor, except for weather like this. Tell us a little bit about the outdoor kitchen and what it gets used for.
So we did a natural building workshop, and we had help from a bunch of people. Mark Strobe helped us build the physical structure, the wooden structure.
Right. It has a roof over it.
Yeah. So it's sort of a got old barn posts supporting a big rectangular structure. It's all, and then we had a natural building workshop, and our friend Beth Campbell came and taught us how to do all sorts of things with sand and clay that we had dug from the foundation right there, and straw from the farm, and wood chips from the farm, and cattail fluff. And anyway, we made all these different kinds. We built with cob and with straw and adobe. And so I think it's a beautiful building. I love it. It's all open for the air to come through, and we use it as our main pack house. So twice a week, we harvest all the food, and we wash it, and we...
It's got a sink, and it's got countertops. It's handy.
Right. And, yeah, so we pack all of our food, and then before we distribute it. But it's also where we cook in the summer. In the winter, we have a little house with a really big wood stove, and we cook on the wood stove, and it makes everything warm. But if we did that in the summer, we would just be roasting. So we cook outside, and we cook on a little rocket stove, which is... uses smaller pieces of wood, and we cook on a camp stove, and we cook in a sun oven, so a little solar oven, and we also have a bigger earth oven for baking pizzas and bread that's also wood
fired. What Alice didn't mention is that her husband Nate also lives there, and Nate is a very, very fine baker. He's the baker at Wheatsfield. And so I'm glad you have some ovens for Nate to bake in out there.
Maybe he doesn't want to do that on his day off. I don't know.
Nate's generous.
The facilities there are nice. And you mentioned earlier, Lois, that there were sometimes you get together for discussions, and that often happens under this roof out in which is kind of settled right in the middle of the garden. So you really get to feel that.
Yeah, Lon and I did a cooking class there once. It was
much
fun.
As you're talking, you can look out and see what's growing. It does the heart good. It does.
Talk about a kitchen garden.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a really beautiful space. Yeah. And we'll often have those roundtable discussions with a potluck so people can bring food to share and enjoy the bounty of the season. And if you're sitting there in the evening and the sun is setting, you can watch the moon rise in front of you and turn and see a gorgeous sunset behind you.
Yeah.
Summer.
And you haven't talked about your internship programs. This is a really unique part of the Mustard Seed Farm. What do the interns do? How do you get them? What do you do with them? It's a summer internship, right?
Yes. We are able to have interns from May 1st to October 1st.
Who live there on the farm.
Who live on the farm with us. Often they just come for that summer window. So it's common to have college students who just come for their summer break.
Well, and that's when a lot of the farm work goes on, right?
Well, there is a lot of farm work that happens in May and August and September. And but yes, they get to participate in a lot of the growing season. The idea is we offer a lot of different things they can learn, but the idea is to welcome people who want to learn how to grow their own food, who want to learn about food justice, who want to learn about ecological living, and living in community and making decisions in consensus.
And how many people do you usually have that live there all summer?
Four is our max. And
because you have to house them, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But we also have sometimes people who are living in town who just come out during the day and join that team. So we will have a little farm class once a week, which you both came and did food preservation as one of our farm classes. So that's for those interns, plus sometimes the broader public. And sometimes we have classes for just the general public.
Like you do apple pressing in the fall, for example. Anybody can come and bring their apples and bring their jugs, right?
That's one of my favorite events all year is the annual cider pressing event. It's such a celebration of the end of the season and welcoming fall. And it's like a loaves and fishes event where we always start and we think, oh, there's not enough apples. And then a couple hours later we think, how did we get so many apples? Because everyone just comes and brings apples to share. It makes the most delicious cider. It's so fun for everybody to have access to the cider press and to watch the magic.
And it's an old press. I actually found the press and thought, oh, I have to have this. We have to do something. This is a piece of history. This is a beautiful piece of wooden contraption.
And, it's amazing press.
And I got it, and then it sat in my garage, and I thought, what am I going to do? And then I realized, of course, it should be part of Mustard Seed, where it has a home and a community, and it gets used, and lots
That's
of people.
True. You need a lot of people.
Where does that apple juice come from? It doesn't just sit in a jar at the store.
It takes a village to press apples.
It really does. It's no fun to do.
We're talking about growing good things. And we're talking about Mustard Seed Farm. This is KHOI Community Radio. And this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more about this station and the Donna Lana Kitchen at KHOIFM.org. You can go to the Donna Lana Kitchen website. There's archives, there's recipes. Yes, there is. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was one of my favorite tunes. That was Rick Exner and Merle Hall playing and singing Little Rabbit, Little Rabbit. One of those. It's just a nice tune. Yes, it is. We're talking about growing community and growing good food on Mustard Seed Farm. Yes, we are.
We got a lot of farmers here today at the table.
You started had you done this before? I saw you at Farmer's Market last summer. What were you selling at Farmer's Market from the farm?
Our main thing that we're selling is prairie seedlings.
So early in the season.
Yeah, so yeah. Last year and the year before was the first time we went to the Farmer's Market, and we signed up for just 6 weeks. So in the springtime when it's the right time to plant your prairie plants. So that's our main thing that we're selling. We also have some crafts and some vegetables, but we usually don't sell vegetables unless we have so many of them that the food pantries can't handle them. So it sometimes happens like with...
There's no such thing as too many vegetables.
Well...
Sometimes they can't handle so many greens that they don't have refrigeration for.
The idea of selling prairie plants is a very good thing. Starting with a prairie plant... is usually better than the seed. They're tricky. Seeds are tricky.
It's much easier.
Yes, very good. So I'm glad you two are selling prairie plants. I hope people are appreciating that
What kind of plants? Like, okay, I have a yard in town. What can I put there that would be a prairie plant?
So we only grow maybe about 20 varieties, and we've chosen all of them because they are pretty easy to grow. They're pretty easy once you've got that start to get to do that transplant and have it thrive pretty well in that first year.
Will the rabbits eat them all up?
I can't say about the rabbits. Rabbits are really...
Well, in town, the rabbits are a little...
They're really bad at the farm this year, too. They're eating even our grapes and everything. So.
Oh, dear. Well, we should be harvesting rabbits, I think.
We should be. We would love to organize a rabbit harvesting.
Oh, see, another workshop.
Event
another
at the farm.
Workshop. Another
We've been
workshop.
Talking about it.
Very Call good. Nick Odie. There you go.
Very good.
But I went to a workshop, maybe with Iowa State, but I did learn that even if you plant even a small amount of native habitat for the insects, even in town, that it makes a difference. That every little island of native habitat.
I put my milkweed in, and now they're all over the yard. But I'd like more.
Yeah, so we plant things that are easy to grow and that are going to be good for the native insects. So,
very good. Very good. Great. You talked about traveling around and visiting other farms and other Catholic worker houses and communities. You have an upcoming trip, Alice. This is amazing. Alice, tell us where you're going.
Yeah, so this is a little bit of a crazy trip.
Adventures with Alice.
So this month is a really busy month. We have our fundraiser coming up, and I had a very full plate already, and then I got asked like a week ago if I wanted to join this small delegation of Catholic worker women that are going to Rome next week.
And Alice said, sure, I'll be right over.
And I said, no way. But I was able to, with the help of my community, cover my responsibilities for that time. And so I have been, so I decided I am going. So we're going to Rome during the Vatican Summit on Sexual Abuse in the Church.
Ha ha.
Which is a 3-day summit.
And this should be a big deal.
This is a very big deal. Clarify, I was not invited by the Pope.
I'm sure if he knew you, he'd be glad that you're there.
So we are not going to actually get to go into the actual meeting that is happening with the presidents of the Bishops' Council and the Pope and some other experts. But we are going to be a presence on the street with many other people calling for... encouraging and challenging the church to do a better job and to be completely honest and humble and brave and also to work with all the members of the church in solving this problem.
Very good. Again, dealing with community justice. This is good. Alice, good for you. Good for you. Well, what are you looking forward to growing in the spring? What will be the first thing up and you're just excited before the idea of working all summer hits you?
Well, I am excited. So tomorrow I'm going to start my onions, which are a little bit late. It's my birthday tomorrow, and I'm going to start a few trays of onions and leeks. So that's exciting. And then I'm going to leave and hope Nate can take care of them.
That he keeps those little guys moist and warm. Okay.
Yeah. This happens every winter. I'm like, I don't want spring to come because I have all these craft projects I want to finish. But then when spring comes, it's so exciting. And it's so exciting to see the birds come back and the...
Iowa ground calls to us, I think, even if it's under the... Even if it's
well,
under the snow.
I think especially on a day like today when we have more fresh snow, you know, it's good to remember that the drama of the seasons, especially in our part of the country, keeps us from being bored. When it's snowing, we're like longing for the bounty of summer.
Just a few weeks ago, we were doing a seed inventory on the farm, and we were looking at all these different vegetables and just salivating over, we want to grow this, and we want to grow that.
Now, don't believe everything the seed catalogs say. I get sucked in every year. The biggest, the best. Surprise your friends. And there's the longest
but
time.
But Juana does surprise your friends.
The longest time, you know, they get really small people to stand next to the pictures, and they hold up these radishes, but it really isn't the radishes, it's the really small models that they get. I figured that out a long time ago. Oh, yes, but it is. I'm doing that, too, getting the seed orders in and receiving seeds, and But one thing I did do this year, I did a very thorough job of going through and throwing away old seeds. You can't keep seeds forever. Seeds are a ongoing thing. Do you do any seed saving on Mustard Seed Farm?
We do seed saving, and we also have a seed saving class once a year. It's one of our kind of standards. We also have a growing food in Iowa basics class that we do once or twice a year.
So which vegetables do you find easiest for saving your own seeds? Tomatoes, I guess, right?
Watermelons.
Watermelon's
really easy. It's like easy for like a whole gang of kids to save watermelons. they won't be the same as the watermelon they came from. Herbs and flowers are very easy.
It's always nice to pass those on to somebody else. I send seeds to my brother, who's a gardener in Missoula, Montana, always with a caveat that, well, now this grows in Iowa. I don't know if it'll work, but we do trade things back and forth, and garden stories are good all over. Saving seeds.
I think Alice gave out zinnia seeds at her birthday party last year, which I managed. One zinnia did come up.
Only one.
Well, I'm not a very good starting from seed person. That's Lana's job. But I put it out. I put them out and sprinkled them around. But I got one, and it was kind of a purpley pink, and it grew to at least 3 feet tall, and it was right by the garden gate, and I was very thankful for it all summer long.
Well, good.
Alice, give us your contact information again for the Mustard Seed Farm, for the upcoming event, or for anything all year.
Our website is mustardseedfarm.org, and on Facebook we actually have two Facebook pages. You could be like Friends of Mustard Seed Farm or Mustard Seed Community Farm.
But if you search Mustard Seed Farm on Facebook, you'll find us.
It works.
Yeah.
Thank you for being with us today. We've been talking to Lois Fulton and Alice McGarry from Mustard Seed Farm. We're talking about growing good things, growing community. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. Donalana Kitchen can be heard every Tuesday at noon, repeated at 7 p.m. in the evening on Tuesday, or you can listen to us anytime at khoifm.org. You can stream, you can download, you can add us to your device. Local music today was by Alice McGarry and a whole bunch of other good people that were part of Bands with Alice. A lot of local people, good stuff. It was from a CD.
We make
CD
music.
Called 5 Miles Out of Town. And that's what the name of this tune is, 5 Miles Out of Town. Support this fine radio station. This is KHOI. If we are in your hearts, you should be on Valentine's Day, put us in your thoughts and support us, like with your time, your talents, or your cold hard cash. We get by with help from our friends. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had excellent engineering today by Evan Taylor.
An excellent brown butter rice crispy treats from Lana Nachtigal.
Yeah, look for that recipe on our websites. Eat good food and enjoy life.